Well, what do the VCR, e-commerce, streaming video and digital cameras all have in common? They're all high-tech innovations that really got their start thanks to the adult industry. Porn and the adult industry at large has always been a very big pusher of brand new technologies, and it's unsurprising that if we want to talk about the future of sex, we might start looking right there. So what will the future of sex be? Well, Ross Dawson is a futurist. He's the publisher of futureofsex.net, and he joins me on the phone. A very good morning to you, Ross.
Good morning.
Now, future of sex, it's not a small topic to be tackling.
Yes, it's interesting once you start to delve into this. I mean, part of it is just the impact of technology on humanity generally. But when we start to explore the impact of technology on sexuality and human sexuality, it actually turns out to be not just a big topic, but something which is really changes our identity. So in futureofsex.net, we look at remote sex, virtual sex, robots, immersive entertainment, human augmentation, and these are all facets, because sexuality is such an intrinsic part of who we are as humans. The intersection of technology and shaping that is actually fundamental to changing who we are.
Now, let's talk remote sex to begin with, because, I mean, teledildonics has been a bit of a buzzword since the 70s, but it's been a little slow catching up with what we thought we might be getting by now.
Well, this is, I suppose, part of the extension of connectivity. So, of course, we had first had phones, and then as we started to get the internet, we started to have other things such as chat and video and so on. And so this is the remote sex, is simply the idea that we can stimulate each other at a distance. And as you say, the idea of teledildonics is not a new one, but this is something where, of course, the technology has to be at a pretty advanced state where people want to to engage with that. So, but essentially, this is about being able to get touch, an intimate touch, at a distance. There are now quite a few different products on the markets, ranging from apps where you can, you know, control how they vibrate at a distance, through to far more immersive ones, which can provide genital stimulation at a distance. And I think there's also this issue of comfort, where people get used to an idea and a long time after they've heard about it. And so I think one of the clear applications of this is clearly where people have a loving relationship, and because they work on an oil rig or travel or whatever it may be, or they live in separate cities, they want to be able to use technology to be close, more intimate to each other, and this is what technology is now allowing us.
Now, I find that a very interesting point, because a lot of people complain that technology is removing intimacy, but I feel like what you're saying is that we just need to redefine where that intimacy comes from a little bit.
Yes, it's interesting. We ran an event a while ago, and there was this conversation where someone in the audience said that, you know, this is not sex. And I think that's something for up to us to define. It is something around what it is that stimulates. What it us, and, you know, there's obviously different types of sex. A lot of it is around intimacy of various degrees. And I think for many people, they're saying, well, yes, this is something which we can in new ways and ways beyond of what we've considered in the past, be ways in which I can interact with somebody in a very close way. And this is where, you know, some people are experimenting already, others will be soon. So I think we already have the early adopters. I suppose one of the key questions is how far this will go and how fast it will go, and more broadly, people using these tools to be able to, you know, connect sexually at a distance.
People are very, very quick to have prescriptive kind of definitions around sex. And I noticed that one of your predictions is around adult performers possibly selling robot replicas of themselves designed for sex. And you're suggesting that might be by 2033. Will we think of that as sex, do you think, if it's with a robot?
It's one of the deepest topics. So what we've seen over the last, you know, 12 to 18 months is that this topic of robot sex has become very much to the fore, because we are realizing that this is imminent. This is real. It's not just something which we have in a movie, but it is certainly not something we have to a real degree now, but within the next decade or so, we can certainly imagine that we can design robots that we will be sexually attracted to, and that we will, you know, want to do things with. And so this is where, again, this is something, you know, there's many people say, no, you know, I'll never do that, I'm not interested. And there's others, and, you know, people have talked for a lot about, you know, for example, for disabled or people who are not able to find the partner which they want, and be able to provide, you know, different ways of you know, satisfaction to them. But also, I think that there's, you know, the, if we look at this in a positive light, I think it's very important when we look at technological change, we can see that there's the potential for negatives. And I'm sure there are people who listen to me who think, you know, this sounds terrible. This is a distant tearing apart of humans. This is taking away from the humanity of how we connect. And I think that's a very valid view. And I think we need to be very aware of the risks of technology, particularly in dehumanization in the broader sense. Yeah, at the same time, we also need to look at the possibilities, the potential. And part of the potential is, for example, that sex robots can teach us to be better lovers. They can help us to explore different facets of our sexuality, which we find difficult to do with other people, which we can then bring into our human relationships. They can give us, give us satisfaction when we don't have the people around us who we love and want to be with. There are many positive aspects, and we think we need to design technology in a way that we focuses on the positives and also acknowledges and mitigates the potential negative aspects, you know, which are very real around this dehumanization of relationships.
Now, you talk a lot about the adult industry and adult performers when you're looking at some of your predictions, and that adult industry has traditionally been a very big instigator of new technology. They've been early adopters. They've been very quick to get it to the fore. Do you think we're going to see a lot of this change coming out of the adult industry and then getting accepted into a more one-to-one kind of lifestyle later on?
It depends on where the application is. But, yeah, I think broadly in most of the domains we are seeing, of course, as you suggested, the financial resources and the innovation to see, you know, and, you know, people say that the VCR was basically driven by the adult industry initially, and many other technologies have been. And I think that now we start to see some of these technologies for example, to be able to find, we have cam girls, where you have a video connection, and we, you know, able to, you know, share images, and clearly being able to add other forms of connection, including touch of various kinds, are things that there will be an investment in, and there will be, you know, resources which will then make these available to people who are, for example, you know, been married for many years but happen to be in different places and can connect differently. So yes, absolutely, we'll see these innovation happen in the industry of, you know, adult entertainment and sexuality, but these provide entrees for others to apply them in their, you know, far more broadly in the mainstream.
And just finally, do you think it's the level of immersion that technology allows for now that is adding this tipping point to us kind of really embracing this idea of futuristic sex?
Absolutely. And so this is something where if something is not as, you know, not quite there in terms of immersion, then it's not going to, it's not compelling enough. And so so now we're starting to get virtual reality and other things which are compelling, where we can actually imagine that we see that we are there. Then this is providing us with a new, you know, it's drawing us in, is be able to say, yes, this is sufficiently compelling, this is sufficiently strong for me to actually, to believe it and to want to spend my time there rather than simply being something which is not yet compelling, something which is not yet there. That's the threshold level where people get there, and we are just really at that point at the moment.
Ross, a fascinating topic, a fascinating talk, and thank you for joining us on Breakfast this morning.
A real pleasure, Nick.